Kuf Alf. So yesterday we discussed, we brought the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about a person saying Kiddush Bebeis Knesses, whether he's Yotzei Kiddush, whether he's Yotzei Hagafon or not. So let's just repeat again the bottom of Kuf Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Osam b'nei Adam shekiddushu Bebeis Knesses. Those people who recite Kiddush in Shul Friday night, so Amar Rav, Yidei Yain lo Yatsu Yidei Kiddush Yatsu. He fulfills the mitzvah of Kiddush because we saw that Rav does not hold of Kiddush Makom Sudei. It does not require Kiddush to be in the context of a Suda, and therefore you're Yotzei Kiddush and Shul. But Yidei Yain lo Yatsu, the bracha you said on Hagafen, does not work because once you leave the Shul and go home, it's Shinoi Makom. Shmuel Amar Af, Yidei Kiddush lo Yatsu, even Kiddush you don't fulfill because he requires Kiddush B'Makom Suda, and since there's no Suda in the Shul, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Kiddush. So the Gemara then asks, if that's the case, El Rav Lamalei Likdushe Bibese. So what's the reason why if they repeat Kiddush? If you were Yotzei Kiddush in Shul Friday night, so why repeat it a second time at home? So the Gemara tells us, Kidei Lahotzi Banova Ubnei Beso, in order to be Motzi, the children and the wife at home. That's why you repeat it. Enoch Nami, you personally were Yotzei, we have to Motzi your children. So this gets into the big discussion, how a person is able to be Motzi the wife and children. If I'm ready to fulfill my obligation, I'm Yotzei, my mitzvah of Kiddush, and they don't have the mitzvah of Kiddush, how could I fulfill their mitzvah? So the din is arvus, that since I'm shayach in the mitzvah of Kiddush, granted I fulfill my chiv. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, even though I'm not chayv right now, but kvar yatza, I could still be motzi someone else. I mean, it gets a little tricky right now, because my level of chiv is derabanan. How can I be motzi a person whose chiv is a din deraisa, right? My wife's chayv on a deraisa level. I'm chayv only on a derabanan level. How can you motzi someone on a deraisa level? So they point out, because even arvus, you're able to accomplish that which I was once chayv on a deraisa level, I could be motzi someone who's a chayv on a deraisa level. Now, one of the tricky things is, the Rush writes that there is no arvus by a woman. Women have no arvus. So how can I be motzi my wife? So it's a big discussion, and therefore they have different eights how to get around this. One of them is that a woman should say Good Shabbos when they walk in. By saying Good Shabbos, that's a fulfillment of the Kiddush on a deraisa level, and therefore since she's only chayv on a derabanan level, and I'm also chayv on a derabanan level, the post can say that's one way to be motzi the woman. So now the Gemara says Vayter. So now we understand why Rav says repeat Kiddush on Friday night at the house to motzi the Bnei Beiso. What about Shmuel? Gemara says three lines down to Shmuel, Lomali L'Kedushe B'Bei Knishta. Now for Shmuel, if you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Kiddush in Shul Friday night, why say Kiddush Friday night at all? No one's being Yotze. So the Gemara says, no, because Lafuke Orchim Yidei Chavasan De'achlu V'Shasu V'Ganu B'Bnei Knishta. Because the guests who sit there, they're eating there, they're drinking there all night in the shul, they're sleeping there, you're being Motzi those individuals, their mitzvah of Kiddush. For them, it's a Suda. So take a look over at Tosas verse Ula Shmuel. So Shmuel says, Lamali L'Kedushe Be Knishta, L'Rav Tzach L'Kedushe Be Knishta. Now Rav, what's it need to make Kiddush in the shul Friday night? For you and I, we're going home anyways. So why should I say it at home? Why say it in shul? Why not say it at home? So Tosas writes, L'Hotzi Kol Osam She'en Lehem B'nei Bayis, Shol Yitzarchu L'Kadesh B'Beisam. So for me, you're right, I don't have to say Kiddush in shul, I can go home and say Kiddush. But at the end of the day, there's some people who don't have a place to go for the homeless, so we say Kiddush for them. Sfas Emes is a different reason why you should say Kiddush in Shul. What's in it to say Kiddush in Shul, even though you don't really need to? Because it's Berov Am Hajjaz Melch. It's better to say with more people. When I go home, it's a few of us. But in Shul, it's tens of people together. Berov Am, therefore it's better to say Kiddush in Shul, according to Rav. But according to Shmuel, the only reason why you could say Kiddush in Shul is because you have the people who are eating a meal in the Shul Friday night. So Tos asks the question, how could you eat in the shul? It's also to eat in the shul. You can't eat in the shul. Look at Tosos, Dir Maschel De'achlu, V'shasu, V'ganu B'nei Knishta. Vim Tomar, V'amrinan, we learned in the Perek B'nei Ha'ir, Megill Daf Chavches, but the Knasios ain't Ochlin Ben, V'ain Chosen Ben, you can't eat or drink in the shul. So how are you having a meal in the shul? V'yafagav De'achil V'shitiya Shal Mitzvah Mutter, even though when it comes to a mitzvah, eating of a mitzvah, you're allowed to, K'damrinan B'yushalmi, Shiu Ochlin Sham B'Kiddush HaChodesh. When it came to Kiddush HaChodesh, so it happened, people would travel on Shabbos sometimes, or even not Shabbos, you have a big suda for them, so they feel like they're like a mensch, that they're schlepping from a far place, they should feel a little chashivas, perhaps hungry, but that's a davar mitzvah, you're allowed to have a meal for a davar mitzvah in the shul. So, gam achshav, so too nowadays, says Tosos, nogin lishos kos havdala ubris mila, we have bris mila in the shul, you drink the cup there, that's eating and drinking, that's for a mitzvah. But if it's not for the purpose of mitzvahs, if it's for sleeping, it's also to do that. Even though the Gemara in Bavel says you're allowed to eat in the shuls in Bavel, even that's the case, ain't ochlin ben. You still can't eat in Bavel shuls. Why? The Kamar Hasim, the Gemara there says, Ravina Rav Ada Bar Ava, They did not want to enter in the shul. It was raining. You can't take, you know, cover in the shul because it's raining outside. It's cold outside. You can't use the shul for some type of hana. The only reason why they went to shul, says the Gemara, ilamishim deshmaisa by tshlusa. When you learn, you need clarity. You can't learn when it's freezing outside, when it's raining outside. So they came into the shul not because of the rain. They came into the shul to have clarity so that they could learn better. But hadukaso, but only for that reason. But stop to go into the shul because of the rain, because you want to eat. You're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, doesn't the Gemara say hadukamer hasam batikinasi el shabavel al tanai osuin? When they built the shul in Bavel, they built it in a condition they allowed to eat and drink there. Hainul acher sheyichru. It's only if the shul had been destroyed, so then that makom play, that makom matila, could now be used. But while it's still active, then she'eino gemel kedusha after it's been destroyed. But when it's active, you can't eat and drink in the shul. So how are you allowed to eat and drink in the shul? There's people Friday night. So Tosus answers via Shlomar, the lav dafka b'nei kedusha. They wouldn't eat in the shul itself. They wouldn't eat in the main sanctuary. There was a social hall. There were rooms off to the side that was able to be eaten in those areas. So that's what Tosas writes. Now, it seems to be a very simple answer. Tosas could have said, he alluded to this, is through the Shabbos. The Suda Shabbos itself is a mitzvah. So in fact, some Rishonim say because Suda Shabbos is a mitzvah, that's why they were allowed to eat in the shul. The Ramban writes, no, because who were the guests who were eating in shul? People who had no money. People who were aniyim. So that's also a mitzvah, tzedakah. So it was a mitzvah to feed aniyim. That was a Suda's mitzvah. And others yet write, the Rav Yeh writes, a different explanation, who were the ones eating? The Talmidei Chachamim. A Talmid Chacham is the exception that they are allowed to eat and drink in the shul. They can sleep in the shul. If that's their profession, that's what they do all day, then they in fact have a heter actually to eat and drink in the shul. Fine. Okay, the Gemara now says, Vayter, there's so much to say here. There's a lot to say. One more thing. Sorry. So now the Gemara says further, what happens Lemaisa on the side? What happens Lemaisa when you make Kiddush in shul Friday night? Who drinks it? Not the Chazan. You give it to little kids. So the Rishon asked the question, how could you give the kids? You're not allowed to eat or drink before Kiddush. So now the kids have a little sip. If they had a Revius, that Revius itself could serve as a Suda. That would be Kiddush and a Suda at the same shot. But they're having a little shot glass. That's not a Revius. They're drinking before Kiddush. How is that allowed? How could you give the kids? So different answers are given here as well. Maram Yerutenberg explained that it's only Aser. The Gemara says in Yivamos, Aser lahachil nevelos. You can't give a nevela or any type of lav. You can't give to a katan. So how could you give a drink to a child before Kiddush? So he says it's only true when you're tasher to give that which is a lav, like a nevela and trefa. Kiddush before, eating before Kiddush is not a lav, and therefore that would be allowed, says the Maram Yerutenberg. The Beis Yosef says that the other explanation, which is interesting, good trivia question, we learned in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, a person cannot do an iser, a lower iser, to prevent a person from doing a worse iser, right? If a guy, let's say, put the bread in the oven, Radias HaPas on Shabbos is only a din derabanan. I cannot remove it to help you avoid getting an iser skila. It's on your cheshbon, not my cheshbon. For me to get an iser derabanan, I feel bad for you, but that's not my obligation. But here the Beis Yosef says, if the children don't drink, I, as a chazan, have a bracha latal. They instituted saying a kiddush, and that's the minhag we do. So I have a bracha latal if nobody drinks it. So we allow the child to eat before kiddush, which is a low-level isser, in order to avoid me from getting a worse isser, a bracha latal. This would be an exception to that klal that we would give a child violating an isser to prevent an adult from getting a worse isser. Now the Bach says, no, a very simple solution. Give it to children who are below the age of chinuch. This concept of not feeding a nevela to a katan is only talking about a person in shegila chinuch. But a child shelo higi l'chinuch, that would be entirely permitted. And the final answer is brought down by the Magen Avraham is based on a Rashba, that this whole concept of not giving isurim to children only true of things that don't affect their growth, their development. When it comes to Yom Kippur, we give children to eat. How could you give them a nevela? How do you give them that which is also in Yom Kippur? Because they need to eat, they need to drink. They fast. A young child's fast is not very healthy for a 10-year-old to fast. So we have to give something that helps them grow better. So anything having to do with that type of dinim, that's not a real lav deraisa, that would be allowed according to the Magen Avraham's understanding. Okay, fine. Let's go right to the Gemara. Gemara then says, after establishing that Shmuel says you're allowed to, you could only say Kiddush b'makom suda, so the Gemara now says five lines down, v'oz de Shmuel etamei, damer Shmuel ein Kiddush el b'makom suda, that you only can make Kiddush in the context of a meal. So the Gemara says, Savrimine, he thought to say, Hani mile mi bayis le bayis, that if you go from one house to another house, meaning the Kiddush is in one house, and the Suda is in another house, that will not be a fulfillment of Kiddush makom suda. Aval, however, b'makom mi makom b'chad beis alo, if it's two places in one house, If one's, let's say, the bottom floor, and one's the top floor, that would actually be acceptable. That is considered Kiddush B'Makom Suda. So the whole concept of the Kiddush B'Makom Suda is an interesting thing. There are many, many shahs that come up, but since Pesach's along, you know, a few weeks away, so one child they ask, how is it possible we say Kiddush at the beginning of the Seder? We don't have Hamotzi till much later, depending how long it goes. The Gavda could be 1-2 hours, depending what your meal is like. That's a big separation. You asked the question yesterday, Mati, about the Zman of Kiddush versus Suda. There's not changing Makom, but it's changing of Zman. It's a big problem. So what the Mefarshim explained is, since the Haggadah is a tzarech of the eating, it's not considered an interruption. It's not separate from the whole meal. The Kiddush, Haggadah, and Suda are all connected, and therefore it's not considered a question, a separation of the Kiddush and the Suda. Another question to point out, a lamdish shayla, they ask in the Rishonim, is a Kiddush B'Makom Suda a din in Kiddush, or is it din in Suda? I mean, does my Kiddush require Suda, or does my Suda require Kiddush? So what's the difference? Let's say a guy doesn't want to eat. He doesn't have bread. He's not having a meal. Is there a concept, is there a relevance to say Kiddush even though there's no Suda? So if it's a din in the Suda, my Suda needs a Kiddush. Well, if I'm not having a Suda, so I could still say Kiddush. It doesn't affect my Kiddush. It affects my Suda. My Suda requires a Kiddush. My Kiddush doesn't require Suda. Or do you say, no, my Kiddush requires a Suda, but my Suda doesn't require a Kiddush. So let's say I don't have wine, so I could still have my meal. If it's about the Kiddush, then if I don't have a meal, if I don't have wine, I could still go ahead and have my meal. So the briskers are machmir, that they machmir in both directions. Every Kiddush requires Suda, that's how everyone paskins. If I have Kiddush, I have to have a meal. And my Suda also requires Kiddush. Let's say I had Kiddush and Shul. Then I go home, I have my meal now. Many say, just go ahead and wash. You don't need Kiddush at that point. But the briskers are makbid based on the Dik and the Rambam that my Suda also requires a Kiddush. So they would repeat Kiddush, so my Suda is in the context of a Kiddush. Fine.
But in the Seder also, you're having a Shir Yayin when you make Kiddush. So the Kiddush B'Makom Suda question.
Oh, good. It's a good suggestion. Yeah, you're having the coast there. That would be that would also satisfy that. That's the B'Dievet, but at the end of the day, this would still serve it. As a purpose, because one of the questions you ask, let's say you're making a bris Shabbos morning. So you have to drink the cup, right? The person drinks the cup. So now, where's the Suda, though? It has to be my Kiddush. I can't drink before a Kiddush. So it becomes my Kiddush now, but if it has my Kiddush, I need to have a Suda. So some say you have to gulp the whole cup. Normally, by a bris milah during the week, you don't have to drink a lot. You have a little sip, and that's it. But on Shabbos, you have to drink a whole cup. So oftentimes, the Moel, he had davened earlier. He already made Kiddush earlier, so he'll drink it, because he's allowed to drink. But for me to take a sip, I have to drink a whole gulp in order to satisfy that, but that's all b'dieved, that the cup itself, the coast itself, will serve as a suda, but maybe this b'dieved situation, that would satisfy that answer. Very good. Gemara now says, around 8 lines down from the top, Amar lehu Rav Anan bar Tachlifa, Zimran Sagin, a number of times, Hava Kamina Kame de Shmuel, I was saying in front of Shmuel, V'nachas mi'igra la'ara, v'ahadar mekadesh. So we went from the rooftop until the ground floor, and he made Kiddush a second time, because he needs to have Kiddush b'makom suda. So he repeated Kiddush again in the makom where he was eating. V'af Rav Huna Savar, he also held, ein Kiddush el b'makom suda. The Rav Huna Kaddish, he was saying Kiddush, and before he had a chance to eat something, v'sakrele shraga, the candle went out. He wasn't able to eat. So there's a discussion here, why couldn't he eat? Either because practically you can't see what he's eating, or maybe others say that your meal has to be with an air. The nair must be present for the suda. That's a chelik of the suda. Either way, he couldn't eat. So he made Kiddush. It was too late. He couldn't eat. So what happened? Ilay lemani the big ganana the Rabba Beray. He went to some house of Rabba his son Havishaga where there was a candlelit. The Kaddish, he made a Kiddush a second time. The time midday and he had to taste something. So we see from here that he wasn't yotzi the first Kiddush because he didn't have anything to eat afterwards. Alma kasaver ain't Kiddush el b'makom suda. So we see again Kiddush must be in the context of a suda, and if it's not, you have not fulfilled your mitzvah. So now the Tosis points out the lashon of tam midei. He tasted a little something. What did he taste? So Tosis writes tam midei nira dehainu timas lechem. He tasted some bread. Kedamrinam aper gimel deshuos kedamrinan kedamri inche nito midei v'ozli v'achol v'shasu. Come taste a little something. Although tima sounds like you tasted a little nothing. No, he tasted bread. You could use the word tima even when talking about eating bread. He brings a ride from the Gemara and Shuos. Now v'imamol mini targima. Now, whether or not the mini tagimi is sometimes the desserts and cakes, which are not bread, but mizonos, whether or not that's lahashim gimel suda Shabbos, whether that could be used for the three meals of Shabbos, kimo b'sukkah, haynu dafka b'suda shlishis. You only have the heter of having mizonos for the suda shlishis. Avalo b'suda arvis v'shachos, shem ikr kavod Shabbos. But for the Friday night meal and Shabbos day, that you have to have bread. Shal shur, there's the heter of having mini tagima. Others say perhaps even a dvar Torah would work, but the evidence if you can't eat more than that. But certainly bread is ideal even for shalosh shudas. So then the Gemara says, yet there's another Amora who holds you require kiddush makom suda. V'af rabba savar in kiddush elo makom suda. Damar by kiavina beimar, when I was in the house of Mar, which is the house of Rabba, Kevin Makadish, when he made kiddush, Amarlan, he says, Tima Mide, come eat something quickly. Dilma ada islisa lishpiza misaka lechushaga. Perhaps when we go, they'll candle, by the time we get home, they make kiddush in one place, they eat where they'd stay, and maybe the candle will go out by the time they get home. Vlo Makadish lechuba beis achila. And you didn't make kiddush where you're eating, so therefore, kiddush ahacha, but kiddush here, by you eating something, lo nafka, so you're not yotzi either if you don't taste anything. Dein kiddush el makum suda. So it sounds like they make kiddush where they were in shul, let's say. He said, taste something now just to be able to kiddush. Fine. Because in case you go home and you can't eat the meal there, you won't get kiddush there. So we see here, Rabbah also held in kiddush ela bimakom suda. So Gemara says, Ain, is that really true? Does Rabbah really hold in kiddush makom suda? I mean, does Rabbah really pass like Shmuel and he doesn't pass like Rav? The Ha'amar Abai, doesn't Abai say, Kol mili damar, every halacha of Mar of Rabbah have avid karaf. Rabbah would always pass like Rav, Lagabe every halacha, with the exception but Labar, Mehani Tlas. Three areas, David Kishmul, he passed like Shmuel. What were the three areas? Matir and me beged le beged. A person is allowed to take tittis from one beged and put it onto another beged. Shmuel allowed for that, even though Rav says you cannot. That he was making like Shmuel. He also allowed Malik and Minel and Ner. You could take the Ner Chanukah from one Chanukah to another one. You don't have to have a candle in between. That's allowed according to Shmuel. And thirdly, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon b'greira, you could drag a bench. The Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer gor other mita kisei v'safsa b'Shabbos u'bavad shalei iskavrin la'asas charetz. Even though when you're dragging the bench, it's going to create perhaps a ditch. But since davar shein iskavrin, Rabbi Shimon allowed it. Shmuel says we pass like Rabbi Shimon. So here too, Rabbi pass like Shmuel in these three cases: by matirin beg lebegin, malikin mineir lener, and davar shein iskavrin. But every area other than this, he passing like Rav. So how do we have Rabbi pass like Shmuel in the case of Ein Kiddush El B'Makom Suda? He always passes like Rav. So the Gemara answers, he passes Kechumre de Rav Hava Avid, Kekula de Rav Lo Hava Avid. When we say he passes like Rav across the board, he passes like every Chumre of Rav, except for these three Chumras, he went against Rav's Chumra. By Matir Beg LeBeged, Malik Nel Ner, and Dav Shem Eskavim. But the Gavi, the cool is a Rav, that he never passes like. And since this case of Kiddush, you have Kiddush, Shalom Makum Suda, Rav is Mekel that you don't need a Suda for Kiddush, so he does not pass like this Kula of Rav either, and everything is very consistent. So up until now, we saw the sheet of Rav and Shmuel, that again, the Kiddush and base Knesset, according to Shmuel, you were not Yotze anything, not Kiddush and Yayin. Rav says you're Yotze Kiddush, but not Yotze Yayin. Now Rav Yochanan takes the third possible permutation, which is what? Rav Yochanan Amar, Afi de Yayin Nami Yotze. He says, not only are you Yotze your Kiddush in Shul, because he does not require Kiddush Makom Suda, but you're also Yotze the Bracha of Agafen. And even if you left Shul, you could still hold on to that Bracha and not having to repeat the Bracha of Agafen as well. The Ozda, Rabbi Yochanan L'Tameh, this is Rabbi Yochanan L'Shitaso, Damar Rabbi Chanan Bar Abai, Amar Rabbi Tas, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Echad Shino Yai, whether a person changes his wine, we'll look at Rashi in a second on that, Rashbam in a second, the Echad Shino Makom, or a person changes his place, Ein Tzarech Levarach. So here we see clearly Reb Yochanan does not require a new bracha with Shinoi Makom. Just turn back for a second. What does it mean Shinoi Yayin when you change the wine? So look what Rashbam rather writes on the bottom here. Rashbam writes, Echad Shinoi Yayin, Shevilo Yayin, Michaves Acheres. Let's say they bring you wine from a different barrel. So V'yeshlo Tam Meshuna, it tastes different. He says, oh, Garua, oh, Meshubach, it could be better, it could be worse, but it's a different taste. You do not need to say a new bracha of agafen on this new wine. So whether you change the wine, whether you change the makom, does not require a new bracha. He does point out, however, says to us, Rashbam, about tova meitiv miyas mevarich im meshubach min arishon. But you would have to say the bracha of tova meitiv if the new wine is better. Now the bracha of tova meitiv is a bit complicated. There are many, many different conditions necessary in order to dictate that you have the bracha. The wine can't be in the table at the time. You can't be aware of it. It has to be new. You have to drink with somebody else. But without forgetting all the different details, if it's a better wine, that's one of the conditions that one would say the bracha of tova meitiv. But you would not need to say a new bracha of agafen because Rabbi Yochanan says shinui yain v'shinui makom does not demand a new bracha. So now the Gemara says on the top of kuf alf amibes as follows. Meisi. Shinoi makom tzarech levarach. Shinoi yayin ain tzarech levarach. So this is a clear brisa that says Shinui Makom does require new bracha, Tiyufta, Rabbi Yochanan, Tiyufta. So Rabbi Yochanan is refuted by this brisa, and we don't pass like Rabbi Yochanan. We, of course, pass that Shinui Makom does require a new bracha. Now, how to define Shinui Makom? What's considered new Makom? Different rooms in the house, different floors. Not for now, but whatever does satisfy Shinui Makom does require a new bracha. So now the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Idi bar Avin Kamei de Rav Chista. One time, Rav Idi was sitting in front of Rav Chista. The Yosef Rav Chista, the Kamei Mishrei de Rav Huna. And he was saying in the name of Rav Huna, Hadamar Shinui Makom Tzarech Levarach. He quoted this din, that when you change makomos, you require a new bracha. When you leave your house, you need a new bracha. So he says, Lo shanu ela ben bayis lebayis. It's only true if you change from one house to another house. Avami makom lemakom lo, but two places within one house, the bottom floor to the top floor, that's not called shinui makom. So Amale Rav Idi bar Avin Hachi Tanina Leib Masisin. It's a very clear brisa that says this. Debei Rav Hinak. It was a brisa in the base measure of Hinak. They taught this. Amale others say Bimasisa Debei Bar Hinak. They have a brisa that was clearly like Rav Huna. So if Ela Rav Huna, Masisa Kamash Malam. So Rav Huna was just telling us a brisa. We don't need Rav Huna. Rav Huna is an Amora. We have brises. The Amoram were known not to repeat things mentioned in the brises. So Gemara says Rav Huna Masnisa Lo Shmuila. He never heard the brisa. He was unaware. Had he known about the brisa, he wouldn't say the din. He didn't know about the brisa. So in his own mind, he's mechadish his din, and he was mechaving to the brisa. So Gemara then says Vesu. Furthermore, Yasir Rav Chizda Vakamer Mishrei Dinafshe. He was quoting something in his own name. Hadamis Shinui Makom Tzarech Levarach, that which it says that Shinui Makom requires a new bracha, lo amrin ela bedvar mishein tunim bracha lacharein bimkomum. It's only true if it's a food item that does not require bracha in its original makom, which in essence are anything that requires burning fashas. We'll see Rashbam in a second. About dvar hatunim bracha lacharein bimkomum. Certain foods that require the bracha to be set in the initial place, you have to go back to the original place. So then, ein tarach levarach, you don't need to say new bracha. I mean, even though you step outside, if I'm having a meal, a motzi meal, and I step outside my house, and I come back inside, I don't need to say new bracha. That motzi meal, or that mezos meal, is continued even when I stepped outside. Now, l'chachila, one should not walk outside if he's having a bread meal, unless there's a certain tarach mitzvah, to catch a minyan, and the different rules about that. But if one does step outside, that's not called shinui makom. So shinui makom is only true when your item is that what's called ein tunim bracha, l'acharim bimkom, where you don't have to say the bracha in the original spot. We'll read Rashbam in just a second. My time and what's the reason? Since you're having a more significant meal, l'kiva kama hadi, you're going back to your original makom, you're still considered attached to the initial makom, and that's not called shinui makom. Rav Sheshes argues and says, Amar echa de vecha de, tarach levarach. He does not care which type of item you're eating, what type of food, what type of bracha. Anytime you step outside the house, you do require a new bracha. So look at the Rashbam. Rashbam 3, medium wide lines down, Rashbam writes, Bidvar m'she'en tunim bracha l'acharim bimkomum. Foods that don't require bracha in its original place could go in mayim or peiros, water or fruit. She'en tunim bracha chashuva b'fnei asman. This doesn't have a separate bracha that's so chashuva. Ela b'rin fashas rabos. It's a very small bracha achron. It's not a chashuv bracha. Hilkach ein tzarech levarach bimkomum l'acharim. We don't require you to go back to your original place to say the bracha. The vada came into amad. Since the person got up, v'halach b'makom acher, and he stepped outside his house, amidasa zu higmash sudasa. That indicates his meal is over. V'ach sudachrisa. And even though he comes back inside, that's called a new bracha. V'tzarech levarach b'tchil. You need a new bracha. As opposed to about dvar mehatunim bracha l'acherim bimkomum, a food that requires a significant bracha. What's a serious bracha? You go in shivas haminim. This bay bracha achas main chalosh. You have the shivas haminim. You say the bracha of al michya. You say bracha of benching for bread. Ho v'lo bir hacharim. Since you did not say the bracha afterwards, v'halach b'makom acher, and you walked elsewhere, lisod adas kiyas harishona halach. You went still trying to continue your initial meal. Hilchach al halavarch bracha achas al shen. Therefore, one bracha suffices. L'finan enami intarach l'chalachzer. You don't have to say a bracha before eating with the second place as well. So there are a lot of halachas related to this, very complicated halachas. I'm not going through all of them, but this is just a very superficial reading of this Gemara. So now the Gemara asks a question. We're going to leave this off today's daf with the question because the answer goes deep into tomorrow's daf, but let's at least get to the brisa and the question. So as we stand right now, a food item that requires a al-michya or a benching, that does not allow for a shinui makom. Shinui makom will not be in effect for those cases. So the Gemara says, Meisidei. Bnei Chabura, Shahayu Musubin Lishos. People were sitting down and they were drinking. The Aku Raglem. So Aku is a very strong language. Aku means they uprooted themselves. You're only at root with yourselves when you initially covey yourself. So it indicates, as the Gemara is going to point out, it implies here that they're having a real Suda. So Aku Raglem, they were okay, the Raglem. Lotzeis Lakras Chasan and Lakras Kala. They went out to the Chasan and Kala, were dancing by, a little parade. They went outside to greet to show the enjoying the Simcha. Kishen Yotze, when they go out, ain't it to an bracha lemafre? They don't have to say a bracha of a bracha achrona before stepping outside. And Kishen Chozen, when they return back, ain't to an bracha lechachila. They don't have to say a new bracha rishona when they come back. That's considered not a separation. That's considered a continued meal. So when is it all true? When do you not have to make new brachas? If there's an old man or an ill person who couldn't join the simcha outside, he stayed back. His presence there was allowing the meal to continue. If everybody stepped outside, the table was empty, the dining room was empty, the din is kishen yotzen, when they step outside, tune in bracha l'mafreh. They need a bracha before they go out to involve themselves in the simchas chasen v'kala. And kishen chosen, when they return back, tune in bracha l'chachil, they need a bracha before it as well. That's the price. So Gemara points out, midikatani akura glam. From the words used, akura glam, that they uprooted themselves, mechlal sounds like they're having a serious meal. They're dealing with foods that require bracha in its initial place, which means shivas aminim, it requires, you know, mizonos, or the benching, al micha, all those things. It was a serious meal they're having. And yet still, time, the only reason why they did not have to, you know, end the meal is because henichu sham zaki nechol, because someone left behind, they were continuing the meal. B'kshen yotzen, ain't tunim bracha lafraya. And kshen chosen, when they return back, also ain't tunim bracha lechachila, only because there's a zaki nechol left behind. If nobody was left behind, the din would be kshen yotzen, tunim bracha lafraya. When they leave, before they leave, they have to say a bracha achrona. Ukshen chosen, when they return back, tunim bracha lechachila, they have to say a bracha in the beginning as well. So this is a kashel of chista, because again, if chista said that if you have a bracha that requires a bracha achareim bimkomam in the initial place, which is another way of saying you require a benching al micha, you don't have to end the meal. There's no shinamakam. But this brisa says if it's a case where there's no zakin echola, it would be a shinamakam. You'd have to end the meal first, then step outside, then say new bracha when you return. So we'll wait till tomorrow to get to the answer of this brisa. Let's quickly recap. We start by saying the three-way machlokas between Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan about saying Kiddush and Shul. According to Rav, you're Yotze Kiddush, but not Yotze Agafen. Shmuel says you were not Yotze anything because Ein Kiddush El Makom Suda. And Rabbi Yochanan said you're Yotze both of them, both Kiddush and Yain, because he felt there is no such thing as Shinu Makom. So we went through Amar Alf, bringing a whole list of Amarim who all held Ein Kiddush El Makom Suda, has to be in the context of a Suda. Then we spoke about how Rava always passed like Rava, except for three exceptions, which was the Matim Beger Beger, Malik and Nail and Nair, and Davashim Iskabrin. But it's only true by the Chumas of Rava, but by the Kulas of Rava, Rava did not hold like, and therefore we passed like Shmuel in this case, Ein Kiddush El Makom Suda. And we added Tiyufta to Rabbi Yochanan that we say Shinimakum does require a bracha, that's how we paskin. And then we said, what's the definition of Shinimakum? It has to be bias to bias, but makum to makum within one house is not called a Shinoi makum. And then we said, it also depends what food you're eating, that if it's a food item that's like a water peros, that's burning fashos, that would be a Shinimakum, but if it's something that's a Shivas Aminim or Al Michin benching, that would not be considered Shinimakum. And we finish off the question, which seemed to indicate the Brisa, that even that which requires benching, Al Michin, would be considered a Shinui Makum. Okay, Mitzvah Shem, we'll continue tomorrow.